When God gives a prophetic warning, he does so for very good reason.
This is Mission 66, bringing the Bible to life, chapter by chapter. Presented by TWR in partnership with the ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, John Matthews and Esther Sisulu are teaching about the kingdom of God established through the line of David in 1 Kings. You can follow along with your downloadable study guide on mission66.org. Let's join John and Esther.
Welcome again to our daily Bible journey, where we're currently looking in the book of 1 Kings, which details the history of ancient Israel's monarchy. It is written that God never does anything without first revealing his plan to his servants, which are the prophets. And when God sends a prophet, he expects the people to pay attention, to listen. Well, today our teacher John Matthews will lead us in a study of 1 Kings 13 and 14 with the theme, Prophetic Warning.
Esther, thank you so much, and a very warm welcome to this latest episode of Mission 66, where we have been seeing the kingdom of Israel is being divided, largely as a result of the sins of Solomon during the latter part of his reign. And so God allows the nation of Israel to be divided into two parts, the north and the south, during the reign, not of Solomon himself, but of Solomon's son Rehoboam. And this happens around the year 930 BC. Now, the 10 tribes comprising the northern kingdom, Israel, they come under the rule of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Jeroboam had fled from Solomon to Egypt, and after Solomon's death, he returns. And God promises to establish him as king of Israel if he will keep God's commandments. Unfortunately, he doesn't. In the south, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, well, they unite to form the kingdom of Judah, which is led by Rehoboam, Solomon's son. So you see, there is this political confusion and division. And against that very backdrop, here chapter 13 of 1 Kings tells us about a man of God, a prophet, sent by the Lord to Bethel, one of the places where Jeroboam had built this altar dedicated to a golden calf. And when the prophet arrives, he encounters Jeroboam standing at the altar making offerings to Baal. So the prophet delivers this prophetic warning in verse 2. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. And the altar also was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you. And I will not eat bread or drink water in this place, for so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water nor return by the way that you came. And that prophecy was fulfilled some 300 years later. A king did arise by the name of Josiah, fulfilling the prophecy by killing the prophets of Baal on their own altar. We'll read about that when we get to 2 Kings chapter 23. But now back to today. This is 1 Kings 13 and verse 11. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, "Which way did he go?" And his sons showed him the way that the man of God who came from Judah had gone. And he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." And then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with you or go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, 'You shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came.'" And he said to him, "I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.' But he had lied to him." You see, when God gives a prophetic warning, he means what he says here. And verse 19 shows what happens when the prophet from Judah yields and he listens to the lie that he's just been told. Verse 19. "So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, "Eat no bread and drink no water," your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. And after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown in the road, and the lion standing by the body. And they came and they told it in the city where the old prophet lived. And when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who disobeyed the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word that the Lord spoke to him." And he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown in the road, and the donkey and the lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body or torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the body in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And after he had buried him, he said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying that he called out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass." Verse 33. "And after this thing, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but made priests for the high places again from among all the people. Any who would, he ordained to be priests of the high places, And this thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. The high places were sites designated for Baal worship ceremonies, you see, which was a continual problem in the history of Israel. And now in chapter 14, we come across another prophetic warning. This is 1 Kings 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise and disguise yourself, that it not be known that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah the prophet is there, who said of me that I should be king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what shall happen to the child." And Jeroboam's wife did this. She arose and she went to Shiloh, and she came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. And the Lord said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shall you say to her." When she came, she pretended to be another woman, but when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another? For I am charged with unbearable news for you. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring harm upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free, in Israel, and will burn up the house of Jeroboam as a man burns up dung, until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat. The Lord has spoken it. Arise, therefore, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something pleasing to the Lord, the God of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam today. And henceforth, the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and root up Israel out of this good land that he gave to their fathers, and scatter them beyond the Euphrates, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and made Israel to sin. So we learn from this that God is able to reveal secrets to his faithful ones. The prophet Ahijah was not deceived, but answered Jeroboam roughly for his deceptions and false dealing. Ahijah's prophecies, well, they all came true. Jeroboam's sons died, so did he. Nadab, his son, reigned in Jeroboam's place as king of the northern kingdom Israel. And now the focus shifts to what is happening in the southern kingdom. This is from verse 21. Now, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite, and Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with the sins that they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations that the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. So Judah starts to fall into Baal worship with the high places, the idolatrous pillars, and the asherim, which were these statues in honour of a sex goddess. And things were sliding so fast now. So God raises up an adversary against Rehoboam, one Shishak, king of Egypt, who came and ransacked the temple in Jerusalem. And there's also war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually until Rehoboam's death. And Abijam, his son, reigns in his place as king then of the southern kingdom, Judah.
You're listening to Mission 66, and, you know, in reading today's chapters with John Matthews, I think there's a lot for us to process. So let's talk about it. Now, John, do you think that the division of Israel and Judah was God's original intent, or perhaps it happened for other reasons?
Well, Esther, remember we were told in the previous episode, in chapter 12, actually, that the Lord told Rehoboam that he shouldn't try to force the northern tribes back into the kingdom because, he said, this is my doing. So, yeah, you know, the division happened partly because of Jeroboam's rebellion against Solomon. Unity, of course, was God's ideal plan. That was his desire. But he sees the heart of people going against him, following these other gods. And so he foresees as well the apostasy of the northern kingdom. And so mankind makes his free choice. And so the split occurs. And yet his plan works out, and it would be worked out long term in spite of all this difficulty.
I suppose there's also a lesson for us to learn from the interaction between the young and the old prophets that are mentioned in chapter 13, right? Because the old prophet, he lied and he tried to entice the younger prophet from obeying God and doing what was right.
Yeah, the younger prophet here acts ultimately independently of God, and the result turns out to be fatal. And I think there's maybe a warning here. It's to avoid the temptation to be partially obedient. The prophet had fulfilled his mission to deliver the message at Bethel, but stumbles when he listens to the voice of a man over what he'd already been instructed by God.
So, John, what do you think actually possessed the older prophet to lie to the younger one? What was the case?
Well, it's impossible to know what he was thinking because we're not explicitly told here, isn't it? But it is possible that this old prophet had become spiritually dull over the years. Maybe he's negatively influenced by the idolatry of Jeroboam, you know, or maybe he's just lonely and wants someone to talk to. Whatever it is, there's a distance between him and God because of this lie. And so it's clear here that he's throwing a stumbling block in the path of the young prophet.
Yeah, well, he certainly is throwing a stumbling block because he goes as far as to say, an angel told me to tell you. Oh, talk about misleading him.
Yeah, and that reminds us a little bit, doesn't it, of what the Apostle Paul writes. He says that even if an angel from heaven is to come and preach a different gospel than the one delivered to you, let him be accursed. So we have to put more trust in the Bible, in the written word of God, than we do in anything we hear from anywhere else. However reliable and persuasive and indeed plausible that source may seem to us in the moment.
Now we see here Rehoboam is, I suppose, in essence, establishing this new religious order with its own priests and its own altars and its golden calves, or its idols, if you will. I mean, this man is acting in direct opposition to God and his precepts.
Yeah, and what it is, Esther, it's a kind of mixture of the traditions and the practices of Canaan with a little belief in the true God thrown in there, you know. In fact, archaeology backs this up. It's uncovered objects that combine paganism with the God of Israel. And what happens is that Jeroboam views religion as something that he can manipulate and construct to suit his moral compass, to suit what the way that he wanted to live his life. And so ultimately, there's complete disregard for God. There's, you know, in a sense, you use a little bit of God. It's insulting, isn't it?
Well, there certainly is a lesson to learn there about trying to construct an image of God in our own minds. And I say this, John, because I want us to get into the summary of what we've learned in these couple of chapters.
Yeah, let's do that, Esther. Look, today here in 1 Kings chapters 13 and 14, we see the consequence of following our own way and drifting away from God, and also the danger of deception. This man of God from Judah obeys God's word initially, but then he's misled by a prophet who lies to him, and that ultimately leads to his death. Jeroboam, meanwhile, his continued idolatry and rebellion against God, well, that results in severe judgment on him, and not only him, the responsibility he carries for the nation, because that judgment falls on them as well, who are following him into that idolatrous way of life. And similarly here, Judah under Rehoboam in the south has also fallen into sin, provoking God through similarly idolatry and immoral practices. Look, the prayer is, let us not be deceived by our flesh or by what seems alluring and intoxicating in the moment. Give us the ability to remain true to you, to your word, to remain close to your indwelling spirit that guides us in all light, in all truth. And where does it guide us? It guides us, Lord, to you, the perfection of forgiveness, love, and eternal life, the source of our deepest need, of our peace, of our compassion, the mighty one who takes our perspective so far away from the detail that bogs us down and the anxiety that might bog us down and the sin that does the same, and says to us, you are mine, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. John, thank you so much for covering us in prayer as we conclude today's episode of Mission 66. And so, friend, we will be back next time, same place, as we move into the next chapters of 1 Kings. And this is where we'll find out about the other kings of Israel and Judah. Well, I'm Esther for John and our entire team, saying see you next time on Mission 66.
That's it for today's episode of Mission 66. But before you go, make sure to check out mission66.org for your free study guide. It's a great way to get more from the Bible and to see how it connects with your life. Cruise through the scriptures with John and Esther, chapter by chapter. Grab your free study guide at mission66.org and be all set for our next episode. While you're at the site, shoot John and Esther a message or ask them a question. You can also become a Mission 66 global partner with your donation, helping Mission 66 get to more places in more languages. All the actions at mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry partnership of TWR and Dr. Luis Seau.